Romney's burning through cash. Santorum is flush. Both are tied, rather, for the lead in the polls heading into Michigan. And the march continues of the elephants as they try to get closer to selecting one to run against Barack Obama. And yet another debate looms. What does it all mean? We'll be talking about it here in this hour of ATN. Plus, how about this? The majority of you say you do not want to see a brokered convention. How about it? From my point of view, as somebody who's going to be there, I would love to see a brokered convention. Can you imagine the excitement? I don't know that you could talk about a brokered convention very often. Think about the last time there was one. That's a trivia question. Last time there was a brokered convention. My name's Kate Delaney. This show is America Tonight. Coming up also this hour, what if you didn't have access to any kind of drugs? What if you were find yourself in a situation where there was an earthquake, for example, a devastating earthquake, and there really wasn't any doctor to go to get the medicine that you needed? What are the alternatives? We're going to chat about that coming up in our next segment. But before we go there, I mentioned this idea of the brokered convention, which is fascinating to me. I love talking about this kind of stuff because the anybody but Mitt Romney crowd is pulsating out there. They're getting loud and they're growing in numbers. Yet Mitt Romney still continues to be the establishment guy. A lot of people think that he is truly the one who should be put up against Barack Obama, and because he can appease particularly to a more moderate type of person, maybe those independents. But somebody that is uber conservative really doesn't like, a lot of people don't like Mitt Romney because they say he's not conservative enough. So where is he moving the needle? Is he not moving it enough? And yet he's still the guy that is trotted out. I also said that he was tied with Rick Santorum heading into Michigan for Michigan anyway, but it's really about Super Tuesday, March 6th. So can you blame people for talking about this idea of a brokered convention? The idea that you could choose from a different set of candidates, that you can go to a convention that would then turn into a brokered convention that would choose an alternative nominee. Gallup USA did a poll. They found by a margin of 66% to 29% Republicans and Republican-leaning voters said that it would be best if just one of the four candidates running for president secured the nomination rather than having a brokered convention. And it found that 55% of Republicans say that they wish someone else were running. So did you hear that number? 55%. 44% are satisfied with the choice of the candidates. 10% difference. So they don't want a brokered convention, but yet the same crop of people that are being surveyed say that they wish somebody else was running. That means brokered convention. So far, 57% also say it's not hurting the party, that the intenseness of it, the negativity, the back and forth, all that sort of stuff. The poll that was taken, as I mentioned, of Republicans, and this time the leaning independents, the Republican-leaning independent type of people, said that they found that former Senator Rick Santorum, who leads Mitt Romney, they like that idea, 50% to 44% in a head-to-head contest. In a poll with all the candidates, Santorum led Romney 36% to 26%. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is at 13%, and Congressman Ron Paul from Texas is at 11%. Now, we could run these cockamamie polls and contests all day long. I think there is something to the polls. Otherwise, pollsters like Frank Lutz and the others would not be paid the kind of king's ransom that they're paid, because you're trying to look into a crystal ball and predict what's going to happen to fine-tune your message or to realize who ultimately the candidate could be. And probably if you were to look at the averages, they're pretty high. They're at least in the 90%. That's why people look at polls in the first place, because of what a poll can tell you. I'm just talking about politics here because there's polls of all sorts. So isn't that interesting? don't really necessarily want Romney, but don't want to see a brokered convention either. So what does that mean? Well, if he's the guy, then we're just going to back him anyway. He might not be who I want, but if that's the way it goes, then that's ultimately what I'll do instead. That's why I think the chances of a brokered convention are much better than one would think. And if it happens, it might just be a surprise for people who think it's going to be the status quo when they get closer to Tampa. Let's see what happens on Super Tuesday, because Super Tuesday really is going to tell the tale. Will that be a chopped up bunch of delegates, or does somebody really clean everybody's clock? If you have close to 500 on the table, you do the math, and that can make a big difference. It can make a huge difference for someone like Mitt Romney, but Rick Santorum, even Ron Paul could say the same thing. Imagine if, here would be the big upset. Here would be the fantasy headline, I think, for a lot of people listening to America Tonight. A lot of people like Ron Paul. A lot of younger people like Ron Paul. What if Ron Paul just surprised everybody? They're not talking about him, and he ends up taking all the delegates or most of the delegates on Super Tuesday. That'd be mind-blowing. Then you know what? Then you're probably really definitely looking at a brokered convention. I'm going to tell you this at the top. Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, which, by the way, I'm broadcasting in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The talk of Chris Christie, it's interesting. He was trotted out by a lot of Republicans as possibly somebody who should run, ended up saying it was flattering, but he didn't want to do it. He wanted to stay as the governor of New Jersey. I think he didn't like the odds, frankly. He was looking at the polls. So Chris Christie said this to Warren Buffett. I love it. He was being interviewed, and he said, why doesn't he just shut up and pay up? You know, one thing you got to say about Christie, whether you like him or don't like him, is he just doesn't mince words. He just says what he thinks. And he was being questioned by Piers Morgan on CNN, and he was talking about tax rates. And Christie said that he's tired of this whole Buffett thing. He's sick of this, you know, world-famous investor who lent his name to a proposed tax hike on the rich and said he just needs to write a check and shut up. I'm tired of, this is his, what he said. I'm tired of hearing about it. If he wants to give the government more money, he's got the ability to write the check. So go ahead and just write it. You know, I have to say, even if I wouldn't agree with Christie on a lot of things, oh, I so agree with this. I'm tired of hearing Buffett's name thrown out. And the whole thing about a secretary who makes $500,000, by the way, anyway. So do I care? No. You know, it's not like she was making so much less. She's paying more because of what she is making, this whole Buffett rule thing that would supposedly ensure the people making more than $1 million a year pay a higher share of their income in taxes than middle class people would have to pay. So I'd say, let's call it something else. If you want to trot that out, let's call it something else. And I agree with Christie. Let's take it off the table. Let's stop talking about Warren Buffett. He's got the great life, and he'd be the first person to tell you he has a great life. People, every year they have a bid, and it goes to charity, and they bid it through the roof to have dinner with, just to have dinner with Warren Buffett. People will pay almost $1 million to have dinner with him for a half an hour. It's crazy. Talking healthcare next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. In this edition of For Your Health, we're pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Cynthia Kelker. She's written a book called Armageddon Medicine. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you think of what happens if you have no access to over-the-counter medicines. What if you couldn't get antibiotics? What would you do? And I have no answer to that question. That's why we're bringing the doctor in the house. Hey, Dr. Kelker, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what was the genesis behind writing Armageddon Medicine? Because it was the what-if scenarios. What if you have food shortages? What if you get into some kind of crazy economic collapse like what we're seeing in Greece?
Yes. Well, about a year ago, I got involved writing some medical articles for a large survivalist blog online, and I was surprised how many people were really interested in the topic. And that developed into first the website Armageddon Medicine, then the book Armageddon Medicine. People in this country are really getting worried about what's coming down the pipeline. And there's a big gap for what to do medically. People know to buy gold, stockpile food, get guns, but what about the medical aspect of things? And being a doctor, I thought I could fill that gap.
And so in filling the gap, what would you say if you were looking at medicines that you needed to stockpile? What do you think people should stockpile if they're going to do that?
You know, the first thing people always worry about is antibiotics, and that is a really good question. And most doctors don't just go around giving antibiotics out. And it's kind of a tough problem for people. If you have a good relationship with your doctor, you could perhaps talk to them about getting a supply of certain antibiotics, which I talk about in the book. There's certain ones that you want to get for certain problems. A kind of penicillin would be one good place to start. But if you can't get them from your doctor, there's an awful lot of people looking at buying fish antibiotics. Have you heard of fish antibiotics?
Yes. Tell for the listeners, tell them more about that.
Well, fish antibiotics are not regulated the same way other antibiotics are. You can get antibiotics to put in your aquarium to cure miscellaneous fish ills, but they do happen to be the same medicines that people use. And you can get them without a prescription, but it does raise a few questions, like, are they really as good as prescription medicines? And there are ways to find that out. For example, if you can find a fish antibiotic with a picture of the pill, you could look that pill up in a pill finder, and then you could find out if it's really, say, an American-made drug, or at least one that's recognized by the United States. I don't actually know if all fish antibiotics are truly as good as a human antibiotics, but I think some of them are. I get the ones that have a picture of the actual pill, if you're going to go that route.
Right. What are some of the other over-the-counter medicines, besides we were just talking about what you could do if you're going to do the fish antibiotics, but what about some of the over-the-counter medicines that could be perhaps substituted for prescriptions?
Yes, and an awful lot of the ones that are over-the-counter now used to be prescription. I've been in medicine long enough to see all these things go over-the-counter, and it's kind of amazing what you can get. So most people are concerned about pain, and you could start with pain medications. You can get Motrin, you can get Aleve, and of course you can get Tylenol. And the difference between prescription medicine and over-the-counter medicine is just a matter of dosing. You can use more, actually. One of the medicines for, say, nausea and vomiting,
mm-hmm.
Meclizine, same prescription medicine, over-the-counter or by prescription. It comes under different names, but Meclizine is a generic name. Or stomach problems, probably everybody's heard of the purple pill, which you can't get over the counter, but you can get Prilosec, which is like the purple pill over the counter, and you can get Prevacid. That's good for ulcers or reflux or gastritis or certain forms even of, say, stomach flu. Or you can get the cheaper stuff, Zantac and Pepcid or Tagamet. When those came out when I was early on in my medical career, those were like miracle medicines. Now they're just like candy. Just buy them anywhere. Many of the creams that are over the counter that are used for fungal infections, yeast infections, those all used to be prescription.
Right.
You get something as good over the counter, really, is what you can get by prescription. And the same thing goes for allergy medicines. Declaritin and recently Allegra went over the counter, and then also Zyrtec, all used to be prescription, all good for allergies, also good for hives. And preppers were stockpiling Primatene Mist as an alternative for asthma, but you can't get that as of January 1st, so maybe that's on the horizon. Anyway, there's just an awful lot of things that you can do on your own if you just know what to do to start
with. Yeah, so that's the key, is the substitutes. And you talk about that, or knowing what to do, you talk about that certainly in your book. And it goes along with the other thing, the natural remedies, because there are natural remedies you can use as substitutes, correct?
There are some natural remedies. Some have been studied better than others. There's a few, like, for example, just in the past couple of years, they've shown that honey probably works as well as the burn cream that we've been using my entire medical career. You don't have to get Silvadine. You could use honey instead. And here's an interesting one, maggot. You probably haven't seen a person who's had maggot therapy, but I had a patient who had ulcers clear to the bone and was going to have her feet amputated because it couldn't cure them. But she didn't really like the idea, and she suggested they try medical maggots, which the doctors didn't think would work, but in fact it saved her feet.
Wow, that's incredible. I've never heard of that. And you're a doctor. You know this. I'm sure you would say this. You have to be in charge of your own health care, correct?
Sure. Education is the main thing. And, if things go bad, you need to be able to take care of yourself. And I'm a parent, so that would also add in your kids and maybe your own parents and maybe your neighbors, friends. I don't know how far it would go, but the person who has the most knowledge would be probably turned to as the medical person.
Yeah, no kidding.
Doesn't have to be a doctor.
Yeah, so armed with information is obviously much better. Because you don't know. I mean, it's like I was thinking off the top of my head, what happens, and this happens to all of us, where somebody cuts their hand, somebody gets a nasty gash, and I wouldn't know what to do. What do you do if that happens? If somebody cuts themselves open besides the tourniquet thing. But what would you, how would you treat that if you didn't have any access to the medicines?
Another good question. People can learn to sew themselves up, but a lot of times you don't really even need stitches. All stitches really do is pull the edges of the wound together, and depending on how deep it is, you may be able to just tape it. For example, I still remember a patient who came to me who had gashed her shin, really more like knocked it open like if you drop a watermelon and it cracks open, kind of like that. So she had a gash 3 or 4 inches long on her shin, but it really went back together really nicely. I didn't, and of course she could have had stitches for that, but she was happy to just have a tape shut. Worked great. So if you're willing to protect a body part, a lot of times taping works. But you could also learn to just sew yourself up. I don't know if you're old enough to have taken home ec, but if you are, if you can put in a zipper, you can probably sew up a person.
Yeah. It's just it's interesting listening to you. I was wondering your background. Where did you study medicine originally, and how? And you mentioned this. You've been practicing for a while. You've seen some, I'm sure, crazy things that have happened over the years.
Well, I've been in medicine about 25 years, and I just went to traditional medical school, Case Western Reserve in Cleveland.
Yeah.
They weren't teaching medicine this way.
Yeah.
This is a more recent interest of mine.
Yeah.
And I look at the economy, and I think it's not sustainable. And what's
right.
going to happen?
Right. What do you do to prepare yourself for that? So a lot of what we've talked about is in your book, correct?
It's all in there and tons more.
And tons more. I love that. And tons more. How long did it take you to pull this together? Because that's why I asked you about your medical background.
You know,
you go to Case Western, you've had 25 years, and you have all this knowledge. How long did it take you to pull together?
Well, I spent half my time for a year doing it. But you could add in 25 years of experience, too. Because it takes some time to really figure out what is important and how... What do people really need to know? Because you don't need to know everything that's in every medical book, you know. And of course, one book cannot cover the whole spectrum of medicine, but it does cover a really high percentage of what family doctors see on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Maybe as high as 90%. I'm not quite sure if it's that high.
Wow, but pretty high anyway.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get a copy of your book, where can they get it?
Just remember those two words, Armageddon Medicine. And just look it up on the internet and you'll find it.
Great. Dr. Kelker, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orticillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world: unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
So what's the wine of the day across America? I don't care if you're listening to me in Michigan, Illinois, Connecticut, Florida, or the great state of Texas, wherever. Everybody is complaining about when they pull up the pumps and they're paying way too much. In California, for regular, gallon of regular, $4.33. And think about it. If you're on the 101 or some of those freeways there, how you're stuck in traffic, how much of the petro are you burning? Here's what a couple of people had to say about filling her up.
The more we can produce and the less we consume here at home, the better off we're going to be, and that really helps put downward pressure on prices. Bringing more production into the marketplace is a way to put downward pressure on prices, on the world's prices and our own prices. Where are we seeing any opportunity to grow and expand in the oil and gas industry? We don't see that.
Prices across Chicago continue to buck the national trend and have gone down in the last week. The national average has gone up about 5 cents a gallon in the last week. Chicago going the opposite direction, in fact, dropping about 9 cents a gallon in the last week. We essentially can think of that as new merchandise. When the new merchandise hits the shelf, it will be much more expensive than the existing gasoline that was on this clearance sale.
All right, so that was Patrick DeHaan telling you about some of the gas prices, and before that, Rayola Duggar talking about gas as well and where we're headed with all of this. Again, the wine of the week, whether it's the man on the street or someone analyzing it, continues to be gasoline. It's the big story. Anywhere locally, you tune on your local news, you tune into it, and you'll see the anchor person throwing to somebody in the field, interviewing people about what they're paying at the pump or standing there in front of the local Shell or Exxon or whatever the gas station is. Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Yeah, Kate, you were talking about a brokered convention, how many people want a brokered convention and how many people don't. So I just went to the Internet, and in this election, 382 of the, I guess it's like 2,800 delegates in the GOP,
yeah,
are uncommitted or uncommitted delegates.
Yes.
So we are going to have a brokered convention. When we vote and they don't select delegates, that means somebody that we don't know is selecting the delegates. People don't want a brokerage convention because they want to be able to decide who is going to represent their party. But, you know, the big wigs, they want to have their little say, so they have all these uncommitted delegates, and then that's how they get the behind-the-scenes power and the string pulling. I'll tell you one thing, Kerry. If Romney can't beat Santorum in Michigan, people are going to ask how he thinks he's going to beat Obama in the other 49 states.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was asking that yesterday. I didn't have a lot of takers on it, but I think, does it matter or not? And, of course, Romney is trying to downplay it, because what if he clears the board on the 6th when it's Super Tuesday and you have almost 500 delegates? Does it really matter if he hit Michigan or not? How much does it matter? And if you go back and you look in history at former candidates, how many of them lost the states that they were from, where they lived, where their family had deep roots? Not too many. Let's put it that way. That's the thing. I think it could have a rippling effect. I agree.
Well, you know, if Santorum wins Michigan, he's going to ask that same exact question on every radio in every one of those Super Tuesday states. He's going to ask, if Romney couldn't beat me in the state where his daddy was governor, how do you think Romney is going to beat Obama? And that right there will be a super, super slap down.
Yeah. I agree. It will be a massive slapdown. That's what's going to be interesting to watch. So we're coming up on that. Your eyes are on it, and so are mine. We're going to have some wild conversations, I have a feeling, Tomas. Thanks for the call.
Well
done. Let's move from Michigan to Illinois, and Rick, who will tell you, who cares, because Obama's got it in the bag. You still think that, Rick, don't you, that Obama shouldn't worry, that he's got this election won?
Yeah. Romney, he can beat Romney. Romney ain't going to beat nobody. Obama's sitting back waiting for him to get the nomination, then they'll go hammering.
I think they'll hammer. Well, thanks to Newt Gingrich, too, there was extra ammunition. Because they'll use clips of, they'll say, even, you know, other Republicans don't like Mitt Romney and what he stands for or whatever. That's, I guarantee they're already, in fact, I heard they're already cutting commercials to that effect.
Yeah, I heard one there last night, yesterday. Yeah. I didn't know who's behind it, but they said, anybody but Mitt Romney.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Voices for America is the name of it or something like that.
Right, yeah.
I see Iran wouldn't let the UN inspectors see that plant, so they're leaving the country. I think as soon as they get out of the country, Israel's coming in.
I think Israel's dying. I don't know that they're going to come in right now because Benjamin Netanyahu's got a big meeting with Barack Obama. Let's see what happens after that meeting. Netanyahu was trigger-happy and ready to go for it. You're right. But remember, we have the bomb. We have the missile or the bomb. I'll say not bomb. We have the missile that can hit that underground facility. That's the problem. So they've got it. They'd have to have the U.S. on board.
Yeah.
They can't hit it. If that's what they're aiming for, they can't hit it.
I think because they're leaving. The U.N. inspectors are leaving the country now. So they'd be clear selling for Israel to go in there and bomb that place.
Yeah.
And then the people will cry about the price of gas. That's their own fault, though. Nobody wants to get behind this ethanol, so they'll have to suffer, I guess. So.
Well, they'll have to suffer, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you're always driving. You drive a lot. What do you spend in gas?
Oh, I really don't know. Probably $60-$70 a week.
Ooh, $50-$70. It that adds up after a while. I mean, come on, you liked it when it was lower. Look, Newt Gingrich promised us that he'd have it at $1.50. Doesn't that make you want to go to Newt Gingrich?
Oh, so did your bimbo protege, Palin. She said the same thing.
Yeah, good luck with that $1.50. That's going to be pretty tough. We're never going to see those times again.
No,
we'd be lucky to see $2.50.
And Romney say he's going to get that pipeline from Canada through. Well, what is that going to do? That's going to China. So
Yeah.
And then I seen they had another earthquake out there. Oklahoma had one last week. And Missouri had one yesterday morning. So that'd be a good place to put a pipeline right through earthquake country.
Oh, but wait a second. Yeah, you know how I feel about the Keystone Pipeline. They have to admit the thing with the pipeline is it is a little bit of a block move for somebody else to come in, and it's a job creator. And I think Honestly, Rick, Obama's behind the pipeline. He just doesn't like the heat that he's taking from environmentalists, because if he gets elected president again, which seems pretty likely, if he is elected president again, I think the pipeline goes through if he can convince Stephen Harper not to make it go in a different direction in Canada and just wait. In fact, I would guarantee that if Obama is reelected, we're going to see the Keystone Pipeline. We're just not seeing it yet until the heat is off of his back after the election.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that because he realizes the jobs. Plus, environmentally, you know, it really did jump through the regs. We're going to have somebody on talking about that, talking about how it met beyond the criteria. But let's face it, if you're running, you're trying to get the people that you know will go out and press the flesh for you, help you, and help you get elected. And so he wasn't going to touch it, honestly.
Well, that whole state right here in this country, I think people would be behind it.
Yeah, and well, now that's part of a little bit of a compromise thing that's being discussed. So that pipeline deal is going to get much more interesting. Trust me on that. Rick, thanks for the call.
Yeah, take care.
And we'll have more on that the pipeline that we were just talking about there coming up on our Thursday show. We're going to have an expert who knows all about what environmentally the regulations. That, you know, the hurdles have already been jumped over and really what's happening with that and some of the conversations, some of the behind-the-scenes conversations. I said this maybe at the top of the show. When was the last brokered convention? And in case you're curious, and many of you probably, this is a smart crew, you might know this. It's easy to find this kind of stuff out anyway these days. Franklin Roosevelt, that was the last time, 1932, and there have been some other conventions that were close to being brokered. From a journalistic point of view, if somebody was covering, you know, where people are on the tube and they're wall-to-wall folks that travel around, we've had many of them on the show that just cover politics move from state to state, especially in a presidential year. That can be interesting with the Republican convention in Tampa. So once the first ballot or whatever you want to call it, the vote, has happened and no candidate has a majority of the delegates' votes, then the convention is considered to be brokered. So the nomination, and smart audience, but just so you know, somebody asked this question, is decided through a kind of a process of alienating the political back and forth, and some of the additional revotes, it would then all be put to the test, and all the regular delegates would also be able to switch to their allegiance to a different candidate when they have these rounds of balloting, and then they hope that with this so-called, they call it like freedom, I think, it'll result in a revote and a clear majority of delegates for just one candidate. Because that's what you have, ultimately. So that's how you come up with a brokered convention. And I said it, Franklin Roosevelt, you have to go back to those days for that. And there have been close ones, but there haven't been too many. In 1962, since 1962, there have been conversations of a few others, like 68. That convention could have been brokered with Kennedy, but he won most of the primaries. He held before his assassination, but there was conversation of that happening. And in 76, the Republican primaries gave Gerald Ford a lead in the popular vote and the delegates entering the convention, but not enough delegates to secure the nomination. A brokered convention was predicted, but Ford got the necessary support on the first ballot. How about that? Stay with us.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts $50 and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. Your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you are
all right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to head to the mailbag. I always remind you, if you have anything to say about the show or things that are on your mind that are happening across this great country or beyond our borders, please email us at americatonight.net. Very easy. They drop down, the menu does. Click on it and give us the info, and you are in. Bada bing, just like that. A lot of you sound off on politics. There's a lot of passionate Politico-type people flying around on the third shift, which is interesting. And I think more than ever, people are getting involved in politics, which is good. No matter what your stripes, no matter the frustrations, no matter if you think that we really need a different kind of legislative branch or executive branch or all the way on down, it's a good thing to be politically active. It's a government for we the people, after all, and I think too many times that is not the way we're wired. For some reason, there's sometimes these politicians sort of become rock stars, which is beyond me. You got to remember, you just want the best person in there. That never are you going to get 100% of your interest. Doubtful. You might like your representative, but if you got maybe 75%, you thought, that other 25%, I think they're wrong. He represents me in Texas or Illinois or wherever, and that 25%, I just don't agree with that stance. I don't agree with the stance on illegal immigration, or I don't agree with the stance on the TSA or Homeland Security. I'm going in that direction, but there are other things. So if you get 75%, then you like who your elected official is. And maybe you just like the congressman or woman, but you don't like the senator. And that's okay. That's why being a little bit politically active makes a big difference. Dan in Texas, who used to call us all the time, and now when his phone works, he calls us here and there. Dan, you got to like that about him. He is politically active. He pays attention. He's got fire in his belly for what's going on, and that's what I call politically active. It doesn't mean you're going to a zillion rallies. It means that you're paying attention to what people are saying so you can make a better decision for yourself. Don't be force-fed what's out there. Pay attention for what you believe is right. And 75% is a pretty good number if you can get that. The problem is most of us aren't getting that number. Speak of the devil. You say his name and the guy's right there. Dan in Texas, how are you, buddy?
Well, hello, baby.
It's good to hear from you. I mean, I really mean that about you. You have the fire in the belly. You pay attention.
Now, look, I listen. I listen all the time, but I don't call in all the time because I'm not trying to be the smartest guy in the room. Okay, when I got something to say, I say it.
I love it.
You know that about me. Okay,
yes.
Look, I think Rick is wrong. Obama's days are numbered. The Tea Party is not dead. A lot of us are laying low. We're sorting out the program with who we're going to nominate, and then whoever the candidate is, we will get behind them 100%, and we will go balls to the wall. It's going to be knockdown, drag out time. Obama will have to create a revolution, stay in office, because we're going to throw him and all his sycophants and his little czars and all the rest of the clowns that's in there, and then we're going to clean house from the Justice Department right on down. And now,
let me ask you this question. Okay, so I get that. I mean, listen, I'm all about the ineffectiveness. I'm right there with you. But the problem is, you know this, it's ultimately somebody has to, there's somebody that you have to get behind that's going to be able to do that. So you think that's Mitt Romney?
No, I think it's Santorum. Romney is not conservative. Santorum is. Gingrich had his chance at the brass ring, and he blew it. And he keeps putting foot in mouth, if you excuse the disease. And
he does. He does. I agree with you. He's killing Republicans.
Now, I have an idea. Once we get things back to starting down the road of normalcy again, let's initiate a 10% tax across the board that will include both the people that are on Social Security and SSI and welfare and whatever that will go into their grant that they receive, and make everybody a taxpayer in this country, to where everybody's got a piece of pie and a piece of reason to be involved in the political system. If everybody's paying taxes, everybody's going to pay attention. And 10% would take care of all these different brackets, just forget about the house deductible and all that other deductions, and simplify it to where we can put it on a postcard. I made $30,000, I'm sending in $3,000 for my taxes. Blah, that's it. Or whatever you make. And it don't matter if you make $1 trillion or you make $100, even if you're a babysitter. You send in your lousy 10%. We give that much to God Almighty, those who tithe, and the government should be not above God. I mean, 10% is enough for these sons of bitches. Pardon my French. I'm sorry about that.
It's enough for them. I agree. Listen, I'm right there with you. They need, it has to be flat across the board. There has to be a better way to do this. And
okay,
the IRS is too much big government.
Listen,
anyway.
Thank you very much for allowing me to sound off, and I'm sorry about the profanity.
All right. Well, thank you. He paused in between all of that, so that's okay. We forgive you. We understand. We move along now to the mailbag portion of this show quickly. Mail's in.
You have mail, mistress.
I love that voice. Can I hear it one more time? We're paying him too much.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you so much. This one comes to us from Blackjack. Blackjack, get it? Blackjack says, Kate, I'm so sick of all this talk about Iran. Why do we pussyfoot around it? Get in there, blow them up, and let's be done with it. I'm not saying the women and the children, and I'm actually not even saying Tehran. Aim for the underground nuclear arsenal, which we know Ahmadinejad is trying to amass, and hit him where it counts. Yeah, but then you hit him where it counts, Blackjack, and got to be prepared for opening Pandora's box. Are we prepared to do that? Let's move on to the next one, and you know how I feel about it. Ahmadinejad has gotten away with too much for too long, and who knows what he could unleash on the world, honestly. Let's move on to another one. This one comes to us from Chris, listening to us in Portland, Maine. We love you, Portland, Maine. So Chris says, Kate, I heard you talking the other day, and you were talking about the Keystone Pipeline. Sorry that people are giving you so much grief on that. You stand strong, sister. I agree with you. Look at the jobs, and ultimately, look at what's going to happen. You said it yourself that the Energy Secretary was backing the pipeline until he was told that it wasn't kosher anymore because it was too much about politics and not about the pipeline really itself. All right, so this one comes to us from Shazam. That's got to be a good nickname, right? Shazam says, Kate, what do you think of this off season in the NFL? Are you getting excited for the draft? No, and I think you might be missing maybe Nail the Score. We just got out of the Super Bowl, a couple of weeks ago, and it is a very weird time for somebody interested in sports. Of course, there are sports of all sorts, like golf, like the NBA. Just tune into the last 5 minutes. Or hockey. I love hockey. Hockey's actually fun to watch. I was watching the Philadelphia Flyers a little bit earlier in the day, and that was kind of exciting. Once again, though, the Flyers, they can collapse at those key moments, goaltending. However, to your question of the NFL, when the draft comes, it's fun to watch the draft. But I think the first couple of positions in the draft are pretty predictable. What's going to happen with Andrew Luck? Yeah, I'm going to say he goes to Indianapolis. So that storyline's probably already been written. But it's not very exciting, actually. It's not very exciting at all because the football's over with. And then you have to wait until training camp. And that's in the summer. And then you got to wait till we get back to the regular season again. So I'm going to say, it's a rough time of year. All right, I said I was going to end with some exit lines. A political one-liner, if you will. So how about this one? He bagged the elephant, only he didn't know which one it was. A problem when you get to a convention.
Oh, man. Talk radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay. Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!